Well, it's no secret I've been having some difficulty speaking this week. And, from one day to the next, never really knew exactly how that was going to be. Lucky to have Kevin on standby, but he couldn't take the pressure. Just take it like it was true. It wasn't true, but I said it. I want to talk to you a little bit about today about relief. Oh, what a relief it is. Relief comes in a multitude of ways for us. I just want to begin to discuss that today. So let's get our scripture up from Psalm 55 and then we'll pray. Father, we just ask you to hear us in our hearts today. Understanding the strain of life is a natural part of the fallenness in this world, but knowing too that we just have trouble releasing control to you and surrendering the keys of our life to your ultimate care. It's clear, Lord, that you have an agenda with us here this morning. And we just ask that you will prosecute that, move forward, Lord, with us in this lesson around prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit. Amen. So, this passage in Psalm 55, this is the bottom portion of the psalm because it's just a long psalm. I took the bottom. King David, Absalom, King David's son, had led a rebellion and claimed the kingship, and a lot of King David's people on King David's side went over to Absalom in rebellion. And there was this big civil war. So David is feeling the betrayal of a number of people, especially close confidants, in this struggle, this national civil war that's going on. And this last portion, though, is almost a mirror of the first half of the psalm. And so we read here, this is basically his prayer. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. And he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old. Selah. Because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. Yet his speech was smooth as butter. Yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Sometimes King David's faith was legendary. Other times, no. King David could display extraordinary faith in God, and then at other times he could be a human lesson in failure of faith. If purity was a thing that got anybody favor from God, then David was hopeless. But we learn in the scriptures that King David's heart was a heart that was after God. Some of you right now are wondering just how long this plastic can withstand this pressure. But it was at times like this when you can't miss David's faith. If you're looking to find a heart and say, how can I learn something vital for my own faith? Then this is exactly it. And if Becky will just go back to one frame. I utter my complaint and moan. They prayed morning, noon, and evening. He never stopped voicing his complaint to God. And here's the key, though. Here's where we sort of drop the ball. He hears my voice. David knew God heard his voice. He was convinced of it. There was no question for David. Where are you? He knew. He redeems my soul and said, here's a man in the middle of a civil war. He's already survived the vile machinations of King Saul and all of these other battles that he's fought and won. And right in the middle of war, he says, he redeems my soul in safety. Not, I hope he does, or he has in the past. It's the present tense. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old. Why? Because they do not change and they do not repent. They do not believe God. In other words, when I'm standing in the boxing ring here, I'm the one who knows God is on his side. I remember how when I took those stones and went running toward Goliath, shedding the garments of battle, the shields and the protective armament, I went with my stones and the Lord God guided my stones to kill my adversary, just as he had done when I killed the lion and the bear. It sounds foolish, probably, to go rushing headlong. But I think David believed God had his back because his enemies were not listening to God. Even when my companion stretched out his hand against his friends and he violated his covenant. So here David is saying, God's got this. If you give me that next frame there. And then it's interesting, because this is a published psalm after all, he put an ending on it. And verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Isn't that wonderful? He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Well, let's get our next scripture up. And so this is from today's text, and what we see, that not only had King David found peace in his heart in the midst of trial and struggle, not only had David found confident peace and learned how to cast his burden on the Lord, he had proven out the value of consistent and constant prayer. Not the kind that glosses over life or your troubles, but the kind that tells God exactly how it is for you. Because everything else is not real. The these and thous and the things I ought not say to you, God, and all of that, that's a bunch of malarkey. Bull excrement. The Lord ends this psalm, this story, by telling us, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them, and speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus has confidence in a just God. Jesus is God. He's synonymous with God. He understands that one of God's eternal attributes is justness, righteousness. And justice is what God does. And will he delay long? I tell you, he will give justice. Now, a lot of people look at that parable and they think of the woman who basically said in her heart, I'm going to nag the judge to death. I'm going to be in his inbox every morning. I'm going to be in his mind while he eats his, well, he don't eat bacon, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to be letting him alone. And the judge knew it. It's not like that. Jesus isn't telling us we have to nag God to death. He's saying just like the nagging woman in her prayer wouldn't leave the judge alone, God expects us to come continually to him. And some of you have asked, well, what's, you know, that's kind of confusing because in one hand, God wants us to have faith that he's going to answer our prayer. And so we sort of name it and then we back away, which has always been sort of my approach, I've got to say. And then the constant and continual worrying out before God. The difference is in your ability to lay it down. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But while it's in your heart, you've got to take it to God. While it's one thing to name it to God and walk away, it's another thing for it to keep real estate in your conscience, in your mind.
I wish you quit that.
You know, there are people all around us every day. Inside, they're just as pressure-filled as this bottle is right now. I can't even mash it with my fingers. And just the slightest thing, they get home and the light bulb's burned out, or somebody hadn't started supper. And that person is about to become the recipient of hours and hours and hours of shaking and agitation and pressure building through no fault of their own. You might say, don't get near me with that bottle. The other night at the pastor appreciation, they put a stapled a thing on my shirt. Actually, literally nailed it through my chest. They said, be nice to me, I have laryngitis. What if we had to walk around with a label on us that said, be nice to me, I might explode! You don't understand what I'm going through! Wouldn't that be great? Or what if everybody had to wear a mood ring hat? You know, turn green or black or something. You say, oh, I'm avoiding Kevin today. He says he's at peace, but Lord, look at that hat. Jesus is saying, God will never turn you away. No matter how shaken you remain. Angela Pleasance, dear friend of mine, she's presiding elder of the Catawba District over near Rock Hill. She's been the chaplain, she just retired. She's been the chaplain of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department for a long time. And all of her Leos understood what it meant to say it was soda time. Sometimes she would come out in the squad room and say it to them. Soda time. It's time to offload, folks. It's time to download what you've been through, what you've seen, what struggles and strains you've been. People have insulted you and mistreated you and done all sorts of vile things to you while you tried to serve them. And it's time for you to let some steam off. So even law enforcement understands the need. And they come in the room and cry, tell out their struggles, the horrors of what they've experienced, the negative things they believe they've learned about the world, about themselves. It's called the soda can time. I just thought it'd be nice to have a drink you can see. So it's soda bottle time for us. Let's get that next scripture. How do we handle it? Well, I remember a woman who had been diagnosed with a certain weird kind of cancer deep inside in a muscle, down in the middle of the back, like somewhere in there near her lung. It was weird. And it really, her life had been threatened. The doctor told her, you know, this could kill you. And so she just kept coming to the altar, coming to the altar. You know, people do what people do. They say, why does she always come to the altar? Well, she was struggling, mind you, to leave something there. And it might strike you as odd to see a Coca-Cola bottle on an altar table. But maybe there ought to be some other stuff up there, like your, you know, your mortgage note. The title to your car you can't pay for. Maybe your marriage certificate. Maybe there ought to be some things up there sometimes to declare that we actually have been offloaded. There's been some downloads going on and some uploads, you know. Jesus said, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's come to the Lord to name our burdens. He says, comparatively speaking, if you come to me under your burdens, I will give you rest from them. And I will exchange. Take my yoke upon you. I will take your burdens and place my yoke on you. Now you have a new work. Now you have a new responsibility. Some things are internal. Fear is really hard to offload because it comes creeping right back. Right? Guilt is even worse because it leads to self-hate and shame. Unconfessed and hidden sin is like a cancer raging inside. He says, I offer you an exchange. Now here's the thing. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And we all go, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus, thank you, Lord, all of us. But we're not interested in anything he did to secure our salvation. Because what he did on the cross was take our burdens on himself. He comes to us and he says, I purchased the right with my blood to bear your concerns and your sorrows, your burdens. I bought the right. And you said, Lord, I trust you and I thank you for doing that for me. But here I've got these I'm going to keep carrying. In other words, rendering the cross nearly effective, but not fully. And we're all guilty. We're just, God, Jesus knows we're human. But can you hear him say, I bought it all. And if you get along into a troubled spot or you get along in a burden, a place, remember I bought it all. Don't cheat me. I bought it to carry it. It belongs on me. Let's diffuse this thing. Let's get some pressure relief in here. Here's the deal. You give your burdens to me, and I will place my yoke on you. Now, we all know what a yoke is for. It's to just evenly distribute the work of the plow or the wagon or whatever on the shoulders of a beast of burden. But that beast of burden is not in control of the plow. beast of burden is not in control of the wagon or whatever other heavy lifting there is. The beast's job is to be responsive to the person who owns the yoke. And so we not only share our burdens in specific terms and say, I'm afraid of this. God, you know I'm afraid. God, you know it's just killing me to keep thinking about this. Or the guilt or the confusion that comes from shame and all. Maybe it's internal like that. Maybe it's external like, God, every time I trust you with somebody, they die. I just can't trust you with anybody else. Maybe it's external in some relationship issues. Or maybe it is like your finances. But when you ask Jesus specifically to carry these burdens for you, and you do that repeatedly, he's very happy. He knows you're human. He intends to train you to let it go. He intends for you to get it where you can walk away from it. He does. But it could get ugly. So he says, surrender control. You may not like what I do. You may not agree with my just decision of law or of mercy. But if you surrender control, you will have peace. That's what David found in his warfare praying. In the midst of the battle, he trusted God. And God's peace came to him. How unsettled is my soul, O God, but you will give me peace, is essentially what he said. How troubled it is in my life right now. Nobody wants to be me. You give me peace. And then surrendering our will. That's why we sang the Bless the Lord, O My Soul things this morning. I want you to see those. We've talked about this before. Those are instructions. Bless the Lord. Who? My soul. It is issuing a command. It is a command decision. You do it internally. You command your soul to praise God. Nobody wants to do it sometimes. Sometimes it's the last thing on your mind, but you say, soul, bless the Lord. Command, isn't you? Bless the Lord, soul. I will myself to bless the Lord and praise his name. I will my burdens over unto him. And next, because I surrender control to his leadership, his divine justice and decision making, now I'm ready. I'm ready to engage in blessing. Blessing the Lord and praising his name. Trouble comes, trouble goes. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will be hated because of Jesus. But take heart. He has overcome the world. Christians were never intended to carry the burdens we carry. What in the world is there in us to be attractive to the rest of the world if we're walking around as beat down and as burdened as everybody else? But when you find the joy of the peace that passes understanding, the world wants that. You say, how do I get that? You say, simple. You surrender to God. And they say, well, I tried that. You say, keep trying. Keep surrendering. Keep stepping down off the throne of your life and letting God take over. In other words, give lordship back to Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry I keep taking your seat. It's just I keep thinking my problems aren't getting managed. They aren't getting the attention they deserve. They're not getting the answers I want. I wouldn't give this to my enemy right now. But I should give it to a friend. Our time at the altar today is purely just because it's soda can time for some. We've had some beautiful examples recently of folks doing just that. And I thought, what a good visual way for us to, either from your seat or right up here at this altar, just display to God your intention to give Him back what belongs to Him. So let's just take some time for that.